is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes, but full of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And as we always say, no solicitation. That's right. We're not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up. But we would ask you to listen up. Please listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you have the privacy, you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you. But my job is to get it right, get it accurate, and pass the information on to you and pray that God the Holy Spirit would use it to challenge you. I remind you of our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. There you can find all the free material that we offer, our latest books, especially the book on these things, which was the last Bible class our Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples, as well as our newest book on God's grace in aging. What happens when you get old? What does God expect out of you? And what does God provide for you? And also, we have redone a book on promises and principles. These are divine promises that God gives you to use along with the faith rest drill so that you can stand unafraid in the devil's world and put on the armor of God, as it talks about in Ephesians 6, picking up the shield of faith. And we have all that information available on the website free of charge, as well as all the radio shows that you've heard in the past are there. You can hear them. You can click on them and they'll play. And we invite you to come visit our website or call us if you need something at 800-831-0718. That's 800-831-0718 for the Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. Today on the Flatline Radio Show, I want to take a look at something kind of interesting, and I hope you find it interesting. It's something that I've been thinking about that I experienced recently. But I want to take a look back at your right to privacy, what I call the believer's right to privacy. We'll call this show Nosy People. How's that? Nosy People. I've heard so many stories about other Christians sticking their nose into someone else's business, and as a result, they gossip or slander that individual for something they might or might not have even done. Recently, in my own home area, someone got sent to the hospital. An ambulance picked him up, and the neighborhood phone started ringing, and everybody started calling so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. It wasn't even true what happened, but the gossip lines were flowing around from telephone to telephone, even out-of-state calls. Crazy what people want to talk about and slandering, not slandering, but just sticking their nose into other people's business. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me make this point to you clear. You have the right to privacy. And you may ask yourself, what are you talking about, Rick? What do you mean, privacy? Well, it's the principle of freedom whereby any individual of the human race, you, me, or anyone, they have the right to retire from the company of others if they want to, and to remain in seclusion from the knowledge or observation of other people. Now, where does that come from? It comes out of the laws of divine establishment. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism are the laws of divine establishment. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism, four divine laws. And under the laws of freedom, you have the right to privacy. Every human being, human race, has the right to privacy. So in America, in our country, if you are a believer or even a non-believer, you have the right to privacy, and you can exercise your freedom uncoerced without someone trying to manipulate you or tell you what you should or should not do and sticking their nose in your business. Now, there is one exception. The criminal has no privacy. He's incarcerated. He's in prison for a reason, and he's lost his right to privacy. But in addition to freedom and establishment, every believer, every Christian, everyone who's accepted Christ as their Savior, they have additional privacy from their royal priesthood to fulfill the principles of living their life as unto the Lord. That's right. Every believer is a royal priest. Now, I don't know if you are a believer. I don't know if you've ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's probably the simplest thing you could ever do. One simple prayer can seal your eternal destiny, because the Bible does say, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that includes you. If you've never made that decision, it's my prayer that you would. The Bible clearly says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That's your second birthday. And it is a wonderful birthday because you're not going to heaven with one birthday. You got to have two birthdays. You got to be born the first time physically and born the second time spiritually. And that kind of threw old Nicodemus for a loop in John chapter 3. He didn't understand when Jesus said you must be born again. But that's true. And that's a question I must ask you today before we go any further. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ to save you? Have you invited Christ to be your Lord? Have you said, yes, Father, I believe Jesus Christ is your anointed Son, and I'm willing to receive him as my Savior, because the Bible is clear. That's all it takes. You don't have to join up, fess up, give up. You just have to believe. That's why the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And again, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So if you've made that decision and you've trusted Christ, you are what the Bible calls a royal priest. You don't need a priest to intercede for you. You're your own priest. And you can fulfill the principles of living your life as unto the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:9, listen carefully, you are, there it is, you hear that? You are a chosen race, that's Christians. A royal priesthood, that's Christians. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, in order that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. It's a wonderful thing to quit walking in darkness, because I learned something a long time ago. If you go walking along in the woods at night, trees lay down and take a nap at night. You didn't know that, did you? Yep, you go walking in the woods at night and you'll trip over all kind of trees and go in the daylight and you won't trip at all because they're taking a nap at night. Now, you know I'm being facetious and kidding, but it's wonderful to have what? And we walking in the light of the Word of God. It's just like a light that lights our pathway. It brightens our life. It shows us where we should go and shouldn't go. But we are a chosen priesthood. So that's your right to privacy. Whenever an Old Testament priest went into the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice, he had privacy, and you have privacy. You do not have to go to someone else to confess your sins. You can do it yourself by doing simply what the Bible says in 1 John 1:9. We call that problem-solving device number one, called rebound. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. So during this time on, during his time on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is interesting now, pay attention here, he expected privacy from the disciples. You might not realize that, but the Lord Jesus Christ expected privacy from his disciples. Notice in Matthew 17:19, listen as I read it to you. Then came the disciples to him in private. In private. When they were unable to cast out demons from a young man who had epileptic seizures, they came to the Lord to ask why they couldn't do it. But they didn't do it publicly. They came privately. In Mark 4:34, listen again, when they were alone, he, that's Jesus, explained the parables unto them. When they were alone, when they were private. And what he's doing in Mark 4:10-11, he tells why he began to teach them in parables to begin with, because they didn't understand what he meant by these parables. So he had to privately tell them what's going on. He got them alone, says, let's step aside, let's have a word, sit down, I'll explain it to you. In Matthew 24:3, the disciples came to him privately. There's the word again, privately. Why did they do that? Well, they had questions about the end times, and they wanted to be told in plain language, not parables, what they could expect. In Luke 10:23, and he turned to his disciples and said privately, there it is again. Jesus had to explain the comprehension skills that God had given unto them so they could understand his plan. So here's the principle. You should understand this. I had to learn it. You need to learn it too. If our Lord respected the privacy of the disciples, then you and I, we also must respect one another's privacy. You know, a person learns best in private when they're not subject to interruptions, not subject to distractions. So when you go to church, if in fact you do go to church, you have the right to privacy. You don't have to go around and shake everybody's hand. You don't need everybody to glad hand you. Just show up and take your Bible, take a notebook, and learn and go home if you want to. You have the right to privacy without anyone bugging you or interrupting you. So the Apostle Peter had to learn a valuable lesson about privacy. And here's what happened to him. He stuck his nose into John's business. The Apostle Peter learned a very valuable lesson when he stuck his nose in the Apostle John's business. Does the Bible talk about that? You better believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ flat out told Peter it was none of his business. Where does it say that? John 21:18-23. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, talking to Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wished to walk. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. That's Peter. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Now follow me." And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John, the one who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. And he said, the one who said, "Lord, who's the one that's going to betray you?" And Peter saw John and said to Jesus, "Well, what about this man?" And Jesus said, here it is, listen carefully, "If I will that he remain till I come back, what business is that to you? You follow me." And then this saying went out among the brethren that this particular disciple, John, would not die. And yet Jesus did not say that to him, that he would not die, but he just told Peter to mind his own business. He just said, "If I will that he remains till I come, what business is it of yours?" So here's another principle we should learn. We are to pay attention to our own life with Christ, and don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what others and what God's doing for them. Or don't worry about what is God's will for their life. If someone asks your advice, if someone asks your opinion, well, give it to them, sure. But allow them the privacy to succeed or fail on their own. They don't need your help to coach them in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit can do just fine without your help, I promise you. So give people the privacy to succeed or fail. The Apostle John wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:11-12, these wonderful words. Here, listen. "For we hear there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they are busybodies." Oh, did you know that's in the Bible? A busybody, someone sticking their nose in everyone else's business, not allowing people to have privacy. Verse 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, "Now those who are such we command and we exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." What does that mean? Eat their own bread. Well, that's an idiom. It means for them to mind their own business, quit being busybodies. So we know, and see, Peter was being a busybody about John. "It's none of your business," the Lord said. "If I want John to live till I come back, he'll live. Just mind your own business." So we know it's the nosy believer who's always snooping, and he's mentioned in 1 Timothy 5:13. Here he is, listen. "And besides this, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to say." This goes on every day in homes and Christian communities and then across our country. People that are bored, people that are not working, go talking to other people and stick their nose in other people's business and gossip and malign people. "Do you know what I saw? I saw so-and-so do this. I saw this. I saw that." Stay out of other people's business. Give them privacy. Because, principle, when you stick your nose into the private business of someone else, you violate their freedom. And judging their actions, judging their decisions, complaining about what they did or who they voted for is none of your business. So privacy is violated when people gossip, when people malign, when people judge. When you intrude into the privacy of someone else, the Bible compares it to stealing and murder. It does in 1 Peter 4:15. Another sure way to get into a lot of discipline and what we call triple compound discipline is when you do this, when you judge another believer. You stick your nose in their business and you accuse them of something or you judge them. In Matthew 7:1-4, I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I've mentioned it to you before, but you should read it. "Judge not." That's a prohibition. Don't stick your nose where it belongs. It doesn't belong. "Judge not that you are so that you will not be judged. For with whatever measure you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. So why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider what? The log in your own eye. So how can you say to your brother, "Let me remove the speck from your eye," and look, you've got a log sticking out of your own eye? What does this mean? Well, first of all, you get judged by God, you get out of fellowship, you violate the mandates of the happiness of God when you stick your nose in someone else's business. Judge not. You're not allowed to judge. You're not allowed to malign. You're not allowed to criticize. So why should I not judge? Why should I not judge? When the Bible says judge not, why not? That you be not judged. What does that mean? Discipline. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. What we're talking about here is an incredible thing. When you accuse another believer of something and stick your nose in their business, God can take their discipline off of them and put it on you, and you have triple compound whammy. You get discipline for your sin, you get the discipline for their sin that they committed, and now you got self-induced misery. So worry about your own eye. Don't worry about what's in your brother's eye. If someone invades your privacy by judging you or trying to straighten you out, this is a great question now. What should you do? If someone invades your privacy and they judge you, or they malign you, or they're critical of you, what should you do? I used to have a friend, still do, he's still living, but he said, I write their name in a little black book, and I'm going to get even with them someday. Many, many years ago, this happened to me. Many, many years ago, when I was young in the ministry, I was judged severely by some pastors in a certain area that didn't like what I was doing, and they had complaints. And it wasn't complaints about what I was teaching, it was complaints about the way I carried my life, that I wasn't doing certain things that they thought I should do. And they judged me for that. And it was a very hard thing for me to go through. I had to pass that test. I had to get by that test. That was very critical for me. So this is exactly what we have here. It's the mandate. And I want to give this to you now. Use this. You have to learn how to use impersonal love, one of our problem-solving devices, in the flat line of your soul. So when you get judged, when you get maligned, when you get criticized, you don't ever seek to retaliate. Then we use impersonal love. Listen, you can either react and get mad and get angry about something somebody said about you or something somebody did. Maybe at church somebody repeated a rumor. Maybe in your community someone accused you of something. You can get mad about that and you get angry about that. Or you can respond. The two R's. You can react with anger, emotional outburst, or you can respond with forgiveness and using impersonal love to stay relaxed. Using impersonal love. What is that? That's one half of the virtue love package. You're able to love someone that doesn't love you because it's based on who you are, not based on who they are. The Bible is clear about this. Stay relaxed. Forgive them. Hebrews 12:15 tells you why you have to forgive them. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God and any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Oh, I like that word, defiled. You might not like it. It's the Greek word miaino. Miaino. M-I-A-I-N-O. Miaino. What does that mean? Well, it means it didn't have indoor plumbing those days. It didn't have a toilet like you do in your house, so they had a chamber pot. And every morning the woman of the house would go outside and holler, miaino, and dump their chamber pot in the gutter. And you did not want to be standing around when the pot got dumped. And that's what this is. When you judge people, when you malign people, when you get involved in that, then you become defiled. You become defiled. By what? By failing to forgive someone and using impersonal love. When the scriptures tell us that we are to have the mind of Christ, what does that mean, mind of Christ? Exactly how am I supposed to think if I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ? How did he think? How did he think about those who judged him and those that mistreated him? What was his reaction to that? Listen to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:23. Who, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously, the one who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he didn't retaliate. He didn't react. He forgave them, went to the cross for them, died for them and you and me and every person in this world, gave his life as a ransom to atone us out of the slave market of sin. So impersonal love, this wonderful virtue, is just one half of our virtuous lifestyle. The other half is what we call personal love for God. You need to know this. You need to understand what is in the flat line of your soul. Personal love for God. That's a wonderful thing. 1 John 4:7-8 says, Beloved, let us love one another. That's impersonal love. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, everyone who has virtue love is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if you have a person who doesn't understand this, it's a possibility they might not even be a Christian. Because this is the greatest thing in the world to learn. God loved you when you were a jerk. Remember? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And were you Mr. Perfect? Were you Mr. Nice Guy? Were you Mr. Wonderful? No, you were a jerk. And God loved you, but he loved you with impersonal love. He loved me and you the same way, based on his character, not ours. We were the jerks, not him. And so when he loved us with impersonal love. And then once we believed in Christ, once we received Christ as our Savior, then he gave us his personal love, because now we're members of the family of God. And we can have that same love in our life. That virtue love is available to us. The scriptures tell us this. It's one half of our virtuous lifestyle. God is love. Let us love one another. But listen to 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, in other words, this is prejudice, he's a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How could he possibly love God whom he has never seen? So you're not allowed to hate anybody. You're not allowed to hold grudges. That's not the Christian way of life. So it's a wonderful lifestyle. Having a flat line in your soul means that you know how to confess your sin and stay in fellowship. It means you understand how to walk in the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. It means you understand how to use the faith rest drill, as Ephesians 6, pick up the shield of faith. It means you've learned how you were saved by grace, live by grace, share grace with other people. It means that you are doctrinal oriented, or you take your life and orient yourself to what the Word of God teaches, giving you a personal sense of destiny with personal love for God, impersonal love for all others, and sharing the happiness of God, as well as occupation with Christ. Those are 10 problem-solving devices on the flat line of your soul. If you don't know those, get a hold of the book, Christian Problem Solving. We've outlined them there. We've gone through each one of them verse by verse, line by line. If you can understand it and read it and learn it, you will be much better off. And it's a free book, so get a hold of Christian Problem Solving through our website, or call us 800-831-0718. So personal love for God, that's you loving God, that's your virtue package. That's the function of our royal priesthood. That's what we call spiritual self-esteem. When you have that, then you can have impersonal love for others. And that's the function of your ambassadorship. So look at the difference. Personal love for God, that's your priesthood. Impersonal love for others, that's your ambassadorship. You understand? Two different types of love. Personal love, impersonal love. So if you get angry at the one who judges you, the person who invaded your privacy, then you're going to destroy the function of impersonal love, which is what? Manifested by you forgiving them and you having a relaxed mental attitude and not trying to get even, not getting all torqued up and trying to get revenge on them. And listen, this can be especially true in marriage, because when the spouse gets angry and uncontrollable, jealousy pops up, and jealousy and resentfulness are bitter pills to swallow. 1 Peter 3:7 says, Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer life. You want to know how your prayers get hindered? Arguing and fighting with one another, husband and wife. So this type of virtue love, this impersonal love I'm talking about, it's not based on emotions. It's based on a new way of thinking, never before understood before the Lord Jesus Christ came and demonstrated it to mankind. And Romans 12:2 says we got to learn how to think different. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Now listen to Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but thank with humility as God has given each one of us a measure of thanking from faith. So is it possible to live in the devil's world and maintain contentment and peace? Yes, if you establish a flatline in your soul. So in closing, let me say this. Here's a few words of warning from the Scripture concerning you judging or you gossiping or you criticizing someone else. Proverbs 10:14 clearly says this, "Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth the foolish ruin is at hand." The mouth of the foolish ruin is at hand. So you can destroy your life by running your mouth. The Bible tells you that in James. In Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So don't say anything critical, maligning, judging, running down, gossiping about another person. In Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from a lot of troubles. That's my challenge to you this morning. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Don't judge and malign them, and you may get it yourself. How do you deal with it? You use impersonal love. You forgive them, and you forget it, and you move on. That's all you have to do. What a wonderful way to live as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have privacy. And this is a lesson many, many churches need to learn, to let the people in your church live in privacy. Keep your nose out of their business. Don't judge them. Don't malign them. Don't seek to get into their business. Leave them alone unless they ask for help. I hope you've been listening. I hope you've been paying attention. We'll be back same time next week, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome back. You are listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight we're talking about the Purple City Alliance and what that means for our community. And I was asking Joanne and talking with Barbara during the break, and I thought, let's do a little more clarification, if you don't mind, for my mind and our listeners. So we've got the Purple City Alliance, and we've talked about that that's new to our community. And we talked about a little bit about Shining Care and gatekeepers, but how does Purple City Alliance differ from gatekeepers and what you're already doing?
Well, it's not actually different. It's really just an extension or like an augmentation of the gatekeeper program that we're already doing. Okay. And I've been saying we're just putting a fresh color like on the message. It's really just showing, helping there be awareness that we as a community are united in purpose and being committed to helping our elders be safe and well. And so it's really an extension of or a fresh look. Yeah. Or an augmentation. I'm still really working on how to explain it, but when I saw the global movement and I saw what other cities were doing, Knoxville, Tennessee, they do big things. It's Riverside. Some of the bigger cities make it a big deal, mm-hmm. and it just brings a lot of awareness, and it's fun, and it engages everyone. Yeah. You know, every people of all ages can take interest and take part.
So tell me, so we have May as Older Americans Month, and then June we're going into elder abuse awareness?
Yeah, so June, so here locally, a number of our elder care agencies and healthcare agencies have worked together to bring awareness to elder abuse and fraud. And so June has been Elder Abuse Awareness Month. And so a big part of the Purple City Alliance, because it's about being equipped to recognize the different risks and how to handle it as a community and know how to help in our normal course of our day. Let's launch it in June because the two messages go together. And we have been doing things with the purple color because the color purple also is the color for elder abuse awareness.
Okay.
It's also the color for Alzheimer's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the Purple City. So let's bring it all together because you can't really separate them all.
No, and that's the alliance name, I imagine, because everyone can come together for one cause.
And anyone can be a Purple City Alliance member. It's free. And basically you're just, committing, saying out loud and to the world that you're committed to just in your everyday life and everyday business acting as gatekeepers. And, being committed to honoring and caring for our community's elders, disabled adults, and their caregivers.
Yeah.
Being aware and watchful for signs of risk.
And being very supportive, too. Excuse me, Karen, but I think that's the key word there.
Yes.
Is supporting the elders.
And it's...
So I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help you, Barbara?
Well, and it's...
I'd be on help.
I think people don't mean to be rude.
No,
But I think that sometimes people get uncomfortable. Or maybe they're busy and they're kind of in their own world and they don't realize they're being impatient. Mm-hmm. And so basically we're saying we're a friendly city, which our community really is a friendly city.
Oh,
I think all of us who live here have had people say, wow, everyone's so nice here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's show the world that. And we have a lot of tourists come through. We have a lot of people who visit our city.
Yeah.
So the Purple City Alliance, the members will receive a window clean with the really cool purple logo and, some signage if you want it. And then, of course, Purple City Week.
I was just going to say, emphasize the week.
So we're launching it and we're starting the initiative that the first week of June of every month will be Purple City Week in Reading. And we're going to paint the town purple to bring awareness. So it's a fun way to get involved. So our alliance members, our businesses are getting into it, and we'll be having a contest, kind of like Rodeo Week, where people can dress Western and they can decorate for the week. This is all about purple. Be creative. Have fun. Let's bring awareness. And so we're doing a contest, and as part of our
painting the bridge.
Yes, we're lighting up the bridge purple. So we start June 3rd.
Okay.
We're having a senior resource and wellness fair.
Fantastic.
And a kickoff reception at 5:30, very short, for our leaders. Our leaders will be there of our community, and our alliance members and the community come out. And we're just celebrating the initiation of this and kicking off the week.
Nice.
And then... there are different agencies you'll see around town, purple flags that signify cases of abuse, and you'll see some awareness signage about elder abuse throughout the week. There are different activities, food drives, things happening. And then on June 11th is the grand finale, I guess you could say, which is our Purple City Fest at the Sundial Bridge. We'll have lots of fun things happening. Resource exhibits, some crafting and fun exhibits mixed in there, games for the kids. We have a whole lineup of local entertainers, including amazing aerial silks demonstration.
Fantastic.
That's like Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
From California Dance Company. And then we'll have a ceremony as the bridge lights. And everybody can have their purple glow stick, and we walk across the bridge, just making an outward symbol of we are united as a community. We care.
Yeah, exactly.
We call that a statement.
It definitely is. Yeah. And one thing our community is great about is coming together. And if this is, you're saying it's a free event,
mm-hmm.
so come out, bring your kids, bring your strollers, bring grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, anybody that you know, come. I mean, we've seen the bridge lit in all different colors, and every single time, it's like that feeling you have on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
When it's lit, you're like, ooh, you know, it's so beautiful. So come out, and I'm excited about it. So you're going to do a scavenger hunt, I think, is what I heard.
Yes, yes. So we call it the treasure hunt because so you receive your treasure hunt map, which sends you around to the different exhibitors,
mm-hmm.
and you gather little pieces of information to fill out your card. Everybody gets into it every year. It's kind of a fun thing. So you're visiting the exhibit, but you're also kind of, it's a game.
Yeah.
And then when you get it completed, you turn it back in to go into a drawing. And Cornerstone Community Bank always generously donates. So we have, you know, $250 cash prize plus some other surprises.
Yes, yes. So
in the basket. And then Barbara has been amazing. She's always such a helpful volunteer in so many ways. But she's been going around and collecting a lot of raffle prizes also, so we have raffles.
So, Barbara, this is what I love about you. Every time I talk to you, you're not just doing one thing. You're doing multiple volunteer things, and it always includes your house.
Yes, so, it has to.
It has to include your house. So tell us, what are you working on now for Purple City Week and Purple City
Well, Night? Actually, what I'm doing is just going around and getting a lot of donations.
Okay.
Which are the prizes for the people that win something that we put on for them to be involved in. No, so if they're going to be number one in winning a prize, then they come and they get to pick a prize from what I've got shown there on display.
Okay, so are we allowed to talk
auction,
about...
There's no auction this time. It's just going to be all raffle prizes.
Are we allowed to say, like, a couple of the prizes to get people thinking?
How about an air flight around town?
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, a lot of people would. Yeah.
Okay.
Ron Lim has been real helpful in donating that. He's a sweetheart.
He is.
So that, and we've got some baskets being donated. Cornerstone Bank is donating a big basket. So I could kind of go on and on, but I'm not going to give the farm away. You have to come and see what we got.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's so true. So right now it's just filling up your home and...
My garage.
Your garage.
Yeah.
Okay.
The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes, but full of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And as we always say, no solicitation. That's right. We're not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up. But we would ask you to listen up. Please listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you have the privacy, you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you. But my job is to get it right, get it accurate, and pass the information on to you and pray that God the Holy Spirit would use it to challenge you. I remind you of our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. There you can find all the free material that we offer, our latest books, especially the book on these things, which was the last Bible class our Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples, as well as our newest book on God's grace in aging. What happens when you get old? What does God expect out of you? And what does God provide for you? And also we have redone a book on promises and principles. These are divine promises that God gives you to use along with the faith rest drill so that you can stand unafraid in the devil's world and put on the armor of God, as it talks about in Ephesians 6, picking up the shield of faith. And we have all that information available on the website free of charge, as well as all the radio shows that you've heard in the past are there. You can hear them. You can click on them and they'll play. And we invite you to come visit our website or call us if you need something at 800-831-0718. That's 800-831-0718 for the Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. Today on the Flatline Radio Show, I want to take a look at something kind of interesting, and I hope you find it interesting. It's something that I've been thinking about that I experienced recently. But I want to take a look back at your right to privacy, what I call the believer's right to privacy. We'll call this show Nosy People. How's that? Nosy People. I've heard so many stories about other Christians sticking their nose into someone else's business, and as a result, they gossip or slander that individual for something they might or might not have even done. Recently, in my own home area, someone got sent to the hospital. An ambulance picked him up, and the neighborhood phone started ringing, and everybody started calling so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. It wasn't even true what happened, but the gossip lines were flowing around from telephone to telephone, even out-of-state calls. Crazy what people want to talk about, and slandering, not slandering, but just sticking their nose into other people's business. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me make this point to you clear. You have the right to privacy. And you may ask yourself, what are you talking about, Rick? What do you mean, privacy? Well, it's the principle of freedom whereby any individual of the human race, you, me, or anyone, they have the right to retire from the company of others if they want to, and to remain in seclusion from the knowledge or observation of other people. Now, where does that come from? It comes out of the laws of divine establishment. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism are the laws of divine establishment. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism, four divine laws. And under the laws of freedom, you have the right to privacy. Every human being, a human race, has the right to privacy. So in America, in our country, if you are a believer or even a non-believer, you have the right to privacy, and you can exercise your freedom uncoerced without someone trying to manipulate you or tell you what you should or should not do and sticking their nose in your business. Now, there is one exception. The criminal has no privacy. He's incarcerated. He's in prison for a reason, and he's lost his right to privacy. But in addition to freedom and establishment, every believer, every Christian, everyone who's accepted Christ as their Savior, they have additional privacy from their royal priesthood to fulfill the principles of living their life as unto the Lord. That's right. Every believer is a royal priest. Now, I don't know if you are a believer. I don't know if you've ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's probably the simplest thing you could ever do. One simple prayer can seal your eternal destiny, because the Bible does say, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that includes you. If you've never made that decision, it's my prayer that you would. The Bible clearly says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That's your second birthday, and it is a wonderful birthday because you're not going to heaven with one birthday. You got to have two birthdays. You got to be born the first time physically and born the second time spiritually, and that kind of threw old Nicodemus for a loop in John chapter 3. He didn't understand when Jesus said you must be born again, but that's true, and that's a question I must ask you today before we go any further. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ to save you? Have you invited Christ to be your Lord? Have you said, yes, Father, I believe Jesus Christ is your anointed Son, and I'm willing to receive him as my Savior, because the Bible is clear. That's all it takes. You don't have to join up, fess up, give up. You just have to believe. That's why the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And again, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So if you've made that decision and you've trusted Christ, you are what the Bible calls a royal priest. You don't need a priest to intercede for you. You're your own priest. And you can fulfill the principles of living your life as unto the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:9, listen carefully, you are, there it is, you hear that? You are a chosen race, that's Christians. A royal priesthood, that's Christians. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, in order that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. It's a wonderful thing to quit walking in darkness, because I learned something a long time ago. If you go walking along in the woods at night, trees lay down and take a nap at night. You didn't know that, did you? Yep, you go walking in the woods at night and you'll trip over all kind of trees and go in the daylight and you won't trip at all because they're taking a nap at night. Now, you know I'm being facetious and kidding, but it's wonderful to have what? And we walking in the light of the Word of God. It's just like a light that lights our pathway. It brightens our life. It shows us where we should go and shouldn't go. But we are a chosen priesthood. So that's your right to privacy. Whenever an Old Testament priest went into the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice, He had privacy, and you have privacy. You do not have to go to someone else to confess your sins. You can do it yourself by doing simply what the Bible says in 1 John 1:9. We call that problem-solving device number one, called rebound. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. So during this time on, during His time on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is interesting now, pay attention here, He expected privacy from the disciples. You might not realize that, but the Lord Jesus Christ expected privacy from His disciples. Notice in Matthew 17:19, listen as I read it to you. Then came the disciples to Him in private. In private. When they were unable to cast out demons from a young man who had epileptic seizures, they came to the Lord to ask why they couldn't do it. But they didn't do it publicly. They came privately. In Mark 4:34, listen again, when they were alone, He, that's Jesus, explained the parables unto them. When they were alone, when they were private. And what He's doing in Mark 4:10-11, He tells why He began to teach them in parables to begin with, because they didn't understand what He meant by these parables. So He had to privately tell them what's going on. He got them alone, says, step aside, let's have a word, sit down, I'll explain it to you. In Matthew 24:3, the disciples came to Him privately. There's the word again, privately. Why did they do that? Well, they had questions about the end times, and they wanted to be told in plain language, not parables, what they could expect. In Luke 10:23, and He turned to His disciples and said privately, there it is again, Jesus had to explain the comprehension skills that God had given unto them so they could understand His plan. So here's the principle. You should understand this. I had to learn it, and you need to learn it too. If our Lord respected the privacy of the disciples, then you and I, we also must respect one another's privacy. You know, a person learns best in private when they're not subject to interruptions, not subject to distractions. So when you go to church, if in fact you do go to church, you have the right to privacy. You don't have to go around and shake everybody's hand. You don't need everybody to glad hand you. Just show up and take your Bible, take a notebook, and learn and go home if you want to. You have the right to privacy without anyone bugging you or interrupting you. So the Apostle Peter had to learn a valuable lesson about privacy. And here's what happened to him. He stuck his nose into John's business. The Apostle Peter learned a very valuable lesson when he stuck his nose in the Apostle John's business. Does the Bible talk about that? You better believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ flat out told Peter it was none of his business. Where does it say that? John 21:18-23. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, talking to Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wished to walk. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. That's Peter. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, now follow me. And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John, the one who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. And he said, the one who said, Lord, who's the one that's going to betray you? And Peter saw John and said to Jesus, well, what about this man? And Jesus said, here it is, listen carefully. If I will that he remain till I come back, what business is that to you? You follow me. And then this saying went out among the brethren that this particular disciple, John, would not die. And yet Jesus did not say that to him, that he would not die, but he just told Peter to mind his own business. He just said, if I will that he remains till I come, what business is it of yours? So here's another principle we should learn. We are to pay attention to our own life with Christ. And don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what others and what God's doing for them. Or don't worry about what is God's will for their life. If someone asks your advice, if someone asks your opinion, well, give it to them, sure. But allow them the privacy to succeed or fail on their own. They don't need your help to coach them in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit can do just fine without your help, I promise you. So give people the privacy to succeed or fail. The Apostle John wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:11-12, these wonderful words. Here, listen. For we hear there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they are busybodies. Oh, did you know that's in the Bible? A busybody, someone sticking their nose in everyone else's business, not allowing people to have privacy. Verse 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, now those who are such we command and we exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. What does that mean? Eat their own bread. Well, that's an idiom. It means for them to mind their own business, quit being busybodies. So we know, and see, Peter was being a busybody about John. It's none of your business, the Lord said. If I want John to live till I come back, he'll live. Just mind your own business. So we know it's the nosy believer who's always snooping, and he's mentioned in 1 Timothy 5:13. Here he is, listen. And besides this, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to say. This goes on every day in homes and Christian communities and then across our country. People that are bored, people that are not working, go talking to other people and stick their nose in other people's business and gossip and malign people. Do you know what I saw? I saw so-and-so do this. I saw this. I saw that. Stay out of other people's business. Give them privacy. Because, principle, when you stick your nose into the private business of someone else, you violate their freedom. And judging their actions, judging their decisions, complaining about what they did or who they voted for is none of your business. So privacy is violated when people gossip, when people malign, when people judge. When you intrude into the privacy of someone else, the Bible compares it to stealing and murder. It does in 1 Peter 4:15. Another sure way to get into a lot of discipline and what we call triple compound discipline is when you do this, when you judge another believer. You stick your nose in their business and you accuse them of something or you judge them. In Matthew 7:1-4, I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I've mentioned it to you before, but you should read it. Judge not. That's a prohibition. Don't stick your nose where it belongs. Doesn't belong. Judge not that you are so that you will not be judged. For with whatever measure you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. So why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider what? The log in your own eye. So how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, you've got a log sticking out of your own eye. What does this mean? Well, first of all, you get judged by God. You get out of fellowship. You violate the mandates of the happiness of God when you stick your nose in someone else's business. Judge not. You're not allowed to judge. You're not allowed to malign. You're not allowed to criticize. So why should I not judge? Why should I not judge? When the Bible says judge not, why not? That you be not judged. What does that mean? Discipline. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. What we're talking about here is an incredible thing. When you accuse another believer of something and stick your nose in their business, God can take their discipline off of them and put it on you, and you have triple compound whammy. You get discipline for your sin, you get the discipline for their sin that they committed, and now you got self-induced misery. So worry about your own eye. Don't worry about what's in your brother's eye. If someone invades your privacy by judging you or trying to straighten you out, this is a great question now. What should you do? If someone invades your privacy and they judge you, or they malign you, or they're critical of you, what should you do? I used to have a friend, still do, he's still living, but he said, I write their name in a little black book, and I'm going to get even with them someday. Many, many years ago, this happened to me. Many, many years ago, when I was young in the ministry, I was judged severely by some pastors in a certain area that didn't like what I was doing, and they had complaints. And it wasn't complaints about what I was teaching, it was complaints about the way I carried my life, that I wasn't doing certain things that they thought I should do. And they judged me for that. And it was a very hard thing for me to go through. I had to pass that test. I had to get by that test. That was very critical for me. So this is exactly what we have here. It's the mandate. And I want to give this to you now. Use this. You have to learn how to use impersonal love, one of our problem-solving devices, in the flat line of your soul. So when you get judged, when you get maligned, when you get criticized, you don't ever seek to retaliate. Then we use impersonal love. Listen, you can either react and get mad and get angry about something somebody said about you or something somebody did. Maybe at church somebody repeated a rumor. Maybe in your community someone accused you of something. You can get mad about that and you get angry about that. Or you can respond. The two R's you can react.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.